بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, the third piece of advice which my Shaykh used to give is for the speakers. For the speakers, this advice is in three parts. First and foremost part is do not speak. Now you might say, well, this sounds like strange advice to give a speaker to say do not speak. But believe me, this was the position of the Salafus Salihin. Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Alayhi, for example, one of the greatest muhaddithun whose book Sahih Muslim is one of what we call the Siyasitta. He always hesitated and never liked to narrate hadith. And when they asked him, he said, I am afraid that if I narrate a hadith, then Allah will hold me accountable based on that hadith. So, for example, if I narrate the hadith to say, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. I am narrating for you one of the most commonly known hadith which all of us know and all of us, mention many, many times. So, if I narrate this hadith and say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Then Imam Muslim said, then I'm afraid that Allah will hold me accountable for this. So if I now act in a way where I want something for myself, but I want less for my brother. I'm in charge of doing something for my brother, but when it comes to doing something for my brother, I say to myself or I say to, oh no, why does he need that? Why does he need this? Right? I'm not going to help him in this matter. Whereas if somebody looks at you and say, you know what, you are saying, why does he need that? But in you, with you in your house or in your property or whatnot, you've got 10 times that. So why does he need it? Then why do you need 10 times that? You have no answer. But you're narrating the hadith. Your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Imam Muslim used to say that Allah will hold me accountable for this. And so he never wanted to speak. So the first advice to speakers is, don't speak. Just think about this. I've said this so many times. Just think about this. When we read the description of the Salafus Salihin, when you read the descriptions, for example, if you read the biography or whatever has been written about any of the, great imams, if you look at the biographies of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, if you read the biographies of the Salafus Salihin, you will read words like, so-and-so was a great Zahid, so-and-so was a great Mujahid, so-and-so was a great Mutawakkil, so-and-so was this, was that, all focused on their actions. I have yet to read about any of the Salaf that so-and-so was a great speaker. Whereas today, we are focused purely on speaking. That is why whenever anybody introduces me and says, so-and-so is an international speaker, I tell them, please, don't even say that word. Allah does not reward speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards actions. Speaking is a wabal, speaking is a musibah. Speaking makes you accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to hold us accountable for this and to forgive us. So the first advice my Shaykh used to give to speakers is don't speak. Second advice he used to give is that if you have to speak, if you must speak, for example, if you are the khatib in a masjid, you have no choice, you have to speak. If you have been called to speak somewhere, if you are a teacher, you have to teach. He used to say, before you go, before you start, make a lot of istighfar. Make a lot of istighfar and say, oh Allah, I am not capable of this. Oh Allah, I don't even want this. And this has to be sincere. Believe me, you are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't say, oh Allah, I don't even want this and you are yearning for this. No. Say, Allah, I don't even want this. Ya Allah, I don't want to speak. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this work. This is the work of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. I'm not a Nabi. I'm not capable of this work. I'm not fit for this work. This is your beautiful kalam which I must recite with this dirty tongue of mine. No. These are the beautiful ahadith and the life of your beautiful Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I must go and teach people. How can I teach people? My own life is deficient. My own life is empty from this. So, oh Allah, save me from this. Do not even give me this opportunity. And then say, oh Allah, if you give me the opportunity, now that you have given me the opportunity, now that I have to stand on the minbar, now that I have to sit here and give this dars, then give me the words that you want the people to hear. Give me the words that will be beneficial for the people. My Shaykh used to say, remove yourself from the equation. Remove yourself from the middle. This is between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ibad. This is between Allah and His slaves. Remove yourself from this. He used to use the analogy of a flute, a bansuri. A flute, if you look inside a flute, the flute is empty. It's a tube. It's a tube with some holes in it. And the sound that comes out of the end of the tube depends on which of the holes is blocked by the flute player. So if you watch a flute player, and if those of you who have not watched flute players, go on YouTube and you can see that. If you watch a flute player, then you will see that what he or she does is that they blow in from one end of the flute and then they move their fingers and they block one or other of the holes in the tube and the music comes out. The beautiful sound of the flute comes out from the other end. He used to say, become a flute in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Empty yourself. Then the flute player will play a tune that he wants the people to hear. Then the flute player will use you as the flute to convey the tune that he wants the people to hear. Become a flute in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Empty yourself. Remove your ego from it. Remove your agenda from it. Don't say something that you want to say because you want to show people what a great alim you are. You want to show people, the depth of your knowledge and all. Remove all this. You are not an alim. You are not. Your knowledge is not deep. What alim? Because you studied for 6 years, 8 years in a madrasa, because you read 20 books, that makes you an alim. Somebody came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi and he asked him, how many ahadith is it necessary for a person to know? And know meaning memorized, having memorized in his RAM, in his random access memory. How many ahadith? And then when you say ahadith, we are not talking about, just the meaning of the words or something. He's talking about the whole thing. The isnad of it, the chain of narration. He asked him, how many ahadith is it necessary for a person to know before he can give rulings of fiqh? Istinbatul ahkam, before he can extract rulings of fiqh, how many ahadith should a person know? Obviously, the person must also be Hafiz Quran. This was at a level where you didn't even need to say something like that. That was understood, that was a given. So Imam Ahmad didn't say anything. This man was persistent, so he asked him, and see where he starts. He asked him, he said, is 10,000 ahadith, having memorized 10,000 ahadith, is it sufficient for a person to be able to extract rulings of fiqh and to give fatawa? Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi said, no. Now see how the man progresses. He said, is 20,000 enough? Now he's not saying, is 10,010 enough or 10,000 and 10,100 enough? He's going double. He says, is 20,000 enough? Is it enough to have memorized 20,000 ahadith. Imam Ahmad said no. He said 30. He said no. 40, 50, 60. The man went to 100,000. Imam Ahmad said no. He said 110, 120. Imam Ahmad says maybe. Now Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi himself is reported to have memorized more than 150,000 wallahu alam. But the same Imam, he used to call Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi his sheikh. He used to say Bishr is my sheikh. So somebody asked him, they said, how is it that you call Bishr al-Hafi your sheikh when he does not know as many ahadith as you know? He doesn't even know, he's not even close to you. I mean, you know so many, maybe he doesn't even know 1/10 of that. Now, 1/10 of 100,000 is 10,000, so that's not a number to sneeze at. But still, whatever it was, right? So he said, people asked him, he said, how do you call Bishr al-Hafi your sheikh when he does not know as many ahadith as you know? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi said, Bishr has the hasil of ilm. He said he has the essence of knowledge. And what is the essence of knowledge? Khashyatullah. He said his heart is full of khashyatullah. I call him my sheikh because of the khashyat of Allah in his heart. And that's the point I'm making, that as a speaker, focus on yourself and say, what is the state of my khashya? Not what do I know? You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows. In this times that we are living in, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's donkey knew more than you and I know. Or perhaps more than you and I will ever know. So forget that. Focus on the heart. As a speaker, remove yourself from the middle. Focus on the heart. Constantly and continuously check your niyyah. And continuously make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah, a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to say things which will make your own islah and will be the means of the islah of your sam'een, of the people who listen to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.